Chapter 7. Little Orphans in the War. The bracelet would not leave her alone. All that day, Rennie's hand kept sneaking into her pocket. She knew she had to keep it safe and she had to keep it quiet, but it was getting in her way. She couldn't think about anything else, not for one minute. Deliberately, she'd pull out her hand and say, under her breath, "Don't touch." But as soon as her mind went to her school, back went her hand to the bracelet. She fiddled with the links during multiplication. She slipped in around her hand when reading. She rubbed the smooth joints where the links fit together. She knew how beautiful the bracelet was and how noisy it could be, and ugly too, and mean, like Julie, like Tom. No one could call it stealing, could they? No, it had simply fallen into her pocket. And why? Maybe she was supposed to have it. It was hateful. It was a soldier's bracelet, a soldier in a country that hated her father. It didn't deserve to be seen. It didn't deserve to be. Maybe she had a job to do. Maybe she had to get rid of it. But how? It was unbreakable. And hidden, it wouldn't destroy it. Besides, there wasn't a place in the house that Mama Loretta didn't dust or clean out regularly. She would need to think about this. When she arrived home from school, there was bread and milk on the table for her. Mama greeted her quietly, too much like Mrs. McLean. Rennie dug into her bread, complaining out loud that it didn't have butter. Butter was expensive, Mama said. They'd be doing without it. Rennie ate and wondered about the bracelet. Once Robbie had flushed Papa's watch down the toilet, he'd borrowed it and lost it. And then he'd finally discovered it, he was too scared to admit it. He thought the toilet would take care of it, but it came back and settled at the bottom. Someone else found it, and Robbie got a licking. "When you're done," Mama interrupted her thoughts, "you should weed the garden." Rennie went upstairs to put on play clothes. She closed the door and laid the bracelet on her bed, as if looking at it would give her an idea. It shone silver bright, like a cold moon, on her blue bedspread. This was like war, she realized. What did people do in war? For one thing, they burned buildings. In the cabinet above the kitchen sink were matches. Rennie stuck the bracelet in the pocket of her shorts where it lay heavily. She snuck the matches and went out back. Crouching in a duck walk, she dug a little hole in the dirt with her fingers, close enough to the house so she couldn't be seen from a window, but not too close enough to endanger the house. She made sure there were no old leaves or grass nearby. She brushed the dirt from her hands and pulled out the bracelet. She placed it in the hole. Everything trembled, her thighs, her hands. When she tried to strike the match, it bent. So did the next one, and they both fell by the bracelet. Her lip hurt from biting it. "Rennie, you've got to do it," biting harder. She struck another match fast and hard into a flicker of flame. She reached it down to the bracelet and watched, but nothing happened until her finger got hot. She dropped it and the other two matches flared up. Rennie jumped back and landed on her bottom. The flames went out and she stared at the completely whole bracelet. It was black in one area, but when she picked it up, the blackness rubbed onto her fingers. All the tightness in her body seemed to break and tears came trickling into her eyes. She leaned her chin into her knees. "Now what, Renetta?" Mama called from the kitchen door. "I told you to weed the garden." Rennie jumped up and rubbed her hands across her eyes. "What about Robbie?" she asked quickly, as if that were her excuse. Mama didn't answer and her silence gave Rennie a knot in her stomach. It also made her mad. Robbie would never weed. He never came home right after school. But weeding was the answer. She would bury the bracelet. It wouldn't destroy it, but it would be impossible to find. In the shed, she found a trowel, then tried to deepen the hole which she'd made for the burning. Bits of soil crumbled away under the trowel, but mostly the ground was hard and pained her hands to dig. She stood up, planted her hands on her hips, and glanced about the yard. Many times she'd heard people complain about the rockiness of the soil in Whitney Pier and the difficulties of growing a lawn and garden. Their own lawn and garden looked good because of Papa's love and care. The soil under the grass might be loose, but she couldn't dig there. That left the garden. She walked up and down the rows, surveying the tiny plants, so smooth and green and healthy. They were getting thicker by the day. In the middle of one of those rows would be the perfect place to bury something that you didn't want found. But every leaf reminded her of Papa. She knew she couldn't take a chance on wrecking a single root. Instead, she dug a hole in a corner of the garden near the lawn where no plants were actually growing. When it was 5 or 6 inches deep, she dropped the bracelet in and took a final look at it. No, the bracelet was not nice, not pretty at all. She packed the earth back over it tightly. She brushed the dirt from her hands, done and glad. She knelt down to weed. The soil was cool and soft under her knees. The tiny plants were tender and sad. She looked them over protectively, little orphans in the war, and I'll be their nursemaid. She checked the tomato plants that were growing straight and sturdy. Carefully, she rubbed the sucker leaves from between the branches. You're stealing food from babies. We don't want you. After a time, she sat back and looked over the whole garden. There were flower buds on the tomatoes. They were the tallest plants. She would keep them that way. Suddenly, she jumped up and ran into the house. Mama, Papa didn't stake the tomatoes. They'll fall over when they get big. He didn't have a chance, Kara. Rennie felt the importance of this. I'm gonna do it. I saw the stakes in the shed. Papa always does it before the roots get too big so he doesn't hurt them. Mama caressed her hair. That's right, she smiled, and it would be wonderful if you would do that. This was joy. The following day, she carefully tapped a stake down beside each tomato plant. Every little tap was a prayer to bring Papa back home.